ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Friday afternoon, evening, whatever time zone you're in, morning if it's tomorrow. Welcome. Welcome, everybody. We got a lot to cover today, but big breaking news about Thomas Crooks, Jeffrey Epstein, and a number of other investigations, mysteries that the FBI is sitting on, like a big chicken sitting on eggs, and they're all hatching. They're all hatching underneath them. And sort of it's all coming to a head. We'll get into it, but I feel like we're sort of continuing our show from yesterday where we talked a lot about the FBI and Kash Patel, obviously suing over people saying things about his girlfriend. And this is all part of the same milieu. It's all part of the same operation going on. So we'll continue to describe the sort of shadow war being waged in Washington, D.C. right now, and how the FBI is desperately trying to patch all of these holes in the dam before the whole thing bursts. So we got a lot to cover, and we have a special report in the third hour from Alex Jones. Stay tuned for that. But first, we'll begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Friday, the 14th of November, 2025. Must watch Thomas Tucker Carlson releases Who is Thomas Crooks mini documentary. The article is at Infowars.com, with the public still left without any answers about the young man who tried to assassinate President Donald Trump in July last year. Popular journalist Tucker Carlson released a mini documentary on Friday digging into the deceased would-be killer's background. The video focuses on the failed assassin's social media history, which has been largely hidden from the public. In fact, the FBI pretty much said that there was no digital footprint for this suspect, Thomas Crooks. Tucker Carlson disproves that and shows some pretty interesting information that has been withheld up till now. We'll return to that topic in just a little bit. Meanwhile, Israel seeks new 20-year defense funding deal with the U.S. This is out-of-the-box thinking, an Israeli official has been quoted in Axios as saying, "We want to change the way we handled past agreements and put more emphasis on U.S.-Israel cooperation." The Americans like this idea. And we mentioned this yesterday, but it is moving forward, and we'll explain the reasoning behind this. And it has more to do with Israel wanting to be able to operate without seeking permission from the United States than it does anything to do with Americans, you know, wanting to keep more of their money or not be exploited by a foreign power. It's more like, how do we allow the exploitation to become routine, where we make this decision now, and then for 20 years, we don't have to talk about it again because the payments will be automatic. We'll get into that more later. Meanwhile, Pentagon briefs Trump on military options against Venezuela for the coming days. Probably this wasn't the first time, but there's widespread reporting on Thursday that military options have been formally presented to President Trump by top Pentagon officials for operations against Venezuela, including strikes on land. Reports say these options are for the coming days. We may only have a few more days. Few more days to be able to say that Donald Trump is one of the only U.S. presidents in the last 100 years to not start a new war. So, you know, out of all the things you can say about Trump, there are a few epaulets, a few blue ribbons that he still maintains. One of them is that he has not gotten America into any new wars, despite the best efforts of the lobbyists around him. And I'd like for him to continue to maintain that designation, to maintain that honorific Trump the Peaceful. But we'll see. Finally, we have this. Trump asks Justice Department to probe Epstein ties with Bill Clinton and other Democrats. On Friday, President Donald Trump asked Attorney General Pam Bondi, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the FBI to investigate Jeffrey Epstein's ties to former President Bill Clinton, Larry Summers, Reid Hoffman, and J.P. Morgan Chase. In the past week, the House Oversight Committee released emails from Epstein's estate, prompting renewed scrutiny after Donald Trump's name appeared in emails released on November 12th. We will get into this later. It's good to see Trump is not just calling it a hoax, but actually telling them to go investigate the real people that did this. He put out a Truth Social. It's not a bad post. It's just too little too late. And we should have done this, you know, in January. That's your Daily Dispatch. We'll be right back with more. Don't go anywhere, folks. War Room.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
With your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. You can follow me on X at Harrison H. Smith. Follow us at Infowars, at War Room Show, at AJN Live, at Real Alex Jones. Make sure you're following us because things are progressing. Things are moving. They're taking my computer away. Do you know that? Just give you a hint as to how close we really are to the end of all things here at InfoWars. They're taking my computer away. The laptop I use for work to gather news has to be imaged for some reason. So again, I know people are probably sick of hearing about it, but it is happening. Things are progressing behind the scenes, piece by piece. Little bits of the operation are being boxed away for sale. And it's a bummer. It is. But the good news is we already have the flight plan for the next launch. We already have the facilities being built. We will continue operation into the future as long as humanly possible, as long as we get your support and we give you a lot of easy ways to do it. But I'm not plugging here as much as I am bragging. I'd like to pat myself on the back here a little bit. And share this with you, because I think you'll all appreciate this as well. And I have to say, this may be, it's certainly in the top 10 messages I've ever gotten in my life. I can't tell you how satisfied and gratified this made me, getting this message. This guy that I met, you know, maybe I only first met him like 2 months ago or so. We had a mutual friend. Went out to lunch or whatever, and he sends me this message yesterday. He says, "My brother and his wife voted Democrat, and I told him about you after we met. He's been watching your videos and literally told me because of it, they are now far right." They are now far right, folks. That's a two-month turnaround. That's a two-month turnaround, folks. We're changing minds. We're breaking free. We're igniting brush fires of liberty in the hearts of men. We're doing it, folks. We're doing it. And I asked him multiple, I was like, "Is this true, dude? Did that really happen?" He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "They were pretty hardcore, you know, liberal, anti-Trump people. It only took a few months of watching our videos for them to completely flip sides." I had a lot of people on X being like, "Far right, you mean American," like saying all this. It's like, well, we're pretty far right. I think if you want to label us anything, I'm perfectly fine being labeled far right. You think it's bad to be labeled far right, I think that's your own biases coming into play. Far right just means far correct. It means far goodness. I guess it depends on what the spectrum is you're talking about when it comes to liberty versus authoritarian. I'm on the far libertarian side, but regardless, it's nice to know that we're still having an effect. It is so gratifying to know that I'm not just preaching to the choir, that new people are tuning in and resonating with what's being said, because not a lot of other people are making these arguments like we make them. The false dichotomy of left versus right, of Republican versus Democrat, can be accurate. I mean, it can align certain things at certain times. But it drives a lot of people away to see the sort of establishment conservatives claim to speak for everybody. When in reality, what we need is just pure Americana, pure Americanism, pure Christianity, the pure InfoWars Alex Jones mindset, where you care about all this stuff. And again, it's a little bit of just patting ourselves on the back. And a reminder that all of this stuff that InfoWars has talked about forever is now widely known and being pushed back on. But it's sort of an eclectic mix of topics. It's health food and keeping poisons out of the food and water, and it's about, you know, the reality about how climate change is a scam and true environmentalism. We actually want to save nature and what God gave us, but not have the concern for that be weaponized into convincing us to commit civilizational suicide. That's certainly happening. It's about the lowering of testosterone. And so it can seem like all like this wide spectrum, this variety of different and sometimes completely unrelated topics. But in reality, when you truly understand these things, when you really look at it at a bird's eye view, when you aren't just bombarded with the facts, but when you actually have time to absorb them, consider them, think about them, it's actually fairly obvious what's going on here. And as crazy as it sounds, as extreme as it seems to some people, we are fighting against a global cult of anti-human psychopaths that are genuinely trying with all of their might and all of their wealth and all of their sophisticated psychological operations to enslave humanity and turn us into essentially farm animals. And everything aligns with that. And everything should be looked at with a filter of liberty versus control. And when you look at things and try to understand the geopolitical conflicts, the political conflicts, the immigration, all of this stuff, look at it through the dichotomy of control or freedom. And when you do that, it becomes very obvious why things are done a certain way, even things that might seem contradictory. The illegal immigration process, it might seem contradictory to say that's about controlling the population, because technically it's like, well, if you want to control the population, wouldn't you have borders? And borders are about control. But no, you release the control of borders. You allow the free flow of human beings because you want to replace a population with ingrained, embedded, practically genetic instinct to rebel, instinct to refuse to bend to unlawful or unwarranted demands. You replace them with religious extremists who treat dictates from their religious authorities like the voice of God and will do what they're told when they're told, and who feel and have been brainwashed and told themselves and been told by the authorities that they are in a war and that they're fighting and that anything is justified because victory is necessary. So it's all about control. So when you look at everything, just think about it in terms of control, because that's how they think about it. That's how they judge what is good and bad, is how easy is it for them to control. And they have a lot of people out there convinced of their mindset that when you see something that is not controlled, it might scare you. When you see speech that isn't permitted, you think that's bad. That's a trick. That's a big trick. And so it's amazing to know that people are waking up to this, realizing this, and coming around to it. And hopefully understanding the same process that I think a lot of us went through, that it's those good instincts that might make you want to be a Democrat or a socialist because you resonate with the seemingly beneficent message of these ideologies. But you have to understand that that's your good impulse being distorted, weaponized, perverted, and used against you. So it's not that that impulse is bad. It's that it's used and weaponized and distorted by bad people to do bad things. With that, I want to go to the opposite. I want to show a video here from one of the top maybe two political streamers on Twitch, Asmongold. You might know about him because he played the Alex Jones video game and loved it, and was on our commercials for a while. he's extremely popular and only getting more popular and only getting more based, I guess you could say. And he lays out this list of like what he, I guess it's what he would do if he was emperor, what he would do if he was the king, what his program for reclaiming America would be. I just think it's an interesting series of ideas. Some are pretty good. Some are, yeah, maybe a little out there. But it's like it's almost worth it to watch this just because of how refreshing it is to see somebody who's not really even in politics. I mean, he's a video game streamer. He just started talking about politics, as I understand it. He didn't go to school for this. He's not hired by a political party to make points for them. He just sort of is saying what he's thinking. And whether or not you agree with these particular, you know, ideas, these prescriptions for what ails us, it's like, what are any ideas that anybody puts forward to solve any of the problems that we're dealing with? So I wanted to go to this video because it's sort of the Gordian knot solution to the problems that we're in. Is you need somebody with a mindset like Asmongold to be like, we're just not putting up with this crap anymore. Clip 20, let's watch.
The point that I was making is that, like, for example, deporting illegals. I would want to use the military to deport every illegal alien in the country. That's what I would want to do. That's one example. Another example is that I would want to bring back insane asylums. I would want to bring back insane asylums and put crazy people in insane asylums. That's another really big one. And I would reduce foreign aid by about 80%. Maybe not 100%. The goal would be 100%, but the beginning would be 80%. I would completely remove any illegals from the census as well. I would even take people that were residents of the country. If they were not net positive taxpayers and they were not performing an essential job, I'd deport them too. Let me think. Oh, I'd add two additional tax brackets for people that are wealthy, for people that are making above $5 and $10 million a year. That way you have to pay more money in taxes. And let's see, besides that, I would double the amount of the money that we put on policing. I would do that instantly. And you don't perform an essential job? Well, no, I don't, but I'm also a citizen. So I wouldn't be deported because I'm not a resident. Like, that's why I said resident, not citizen. Learn to listen. Harsher punishment. Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you steal from a store, instant mandatory prison time. Even if you stole a paintbrush. Yep. You go to prison. The reason why, it's pretty simple. I don't want to live in a world where people steal. I don't want to live in a world where there's violence, hostility, aggression, and turmoil. And I don't think that most people do. So just put them in jail. Simple. I'll do one more. I would make it to where every prisoner had an extended sentence by about 30 to 50%, and they could work in prison to reduce their sentence that got increased back down to what it was if they wanted to work in prison. And I would do mandatory prison labor, and I would punish the people that wouldn't do it. I would put every single one of them to work. That's right. Community service? Yep, absolutely. And so, yeah, that's what I would do. Would you be president? Would you be authoritarian? I mean, I think people would say that I was, but I would actually be the most pro-freedom president ever. But I view the freedom of the people that are the 98 to 95% of the population that are being terrorized by the 2 to 5% of the population that are bad actors.
I liked that point that he made at the end. You know, again, I agree with his ideas or not. The point is, it's like, what are the things being done? What is happening? And a lot of comments underneath that video We're like, yeah, well, the only problem is the, you know, baked lobbying system and the industries that would fight you and the prison industrial complex that makes a lot of money off the way things are now. And it's like, yeah, I know. I know that there are a lot of entrenched moneyed interests that don't want to see things change, that do want to see exploitation continue, failure and corruption expand, criminals run on the street for some reason because they hate you. That's why we have a government that's supposed to represent us. The idea is that all of that power and all of that money and all of the influence and all of the persuasion all is secondary to the people. And if the people aren't being served by the politicians, we take their power away. The power that they have comes from us. That's how it's supposed to be. Now, it's gone off the rails quite a bit. We obviously need some sort of holistic change, some sort of overhaul of the system to get back on track, because it is burdened by a legacy of just endless patchwork repairs, right? Like the Jason's ship of Theseus, the American government, the laws that govern us sort of been patched over so many times. It's not even the same thing anymore. After reading the comments, people unable to distinguish between resident and citizen. I must also include my previous policy of removing the right to vote from 85% of the population at a minimum. Yeah. Oh man. Whew, I feel that one. I feel that one real good. That is one of those things. Yeah. Maybe you should have to define that. That can be it. You want to vote? Tell me the distinction between a resident and a citizen. It's kind of like Starship Troopers, actually, which also presented an interesting theoretical overhaul of the United States government into a form to deal with the out of control crime that the author imagined in the future and that we are living with now. And it's also interesting that, you know, jail reform is just such an obviously overwhelming priority that we need to deal with, because not only are there too many criminals out on the street, the jails are overloaded at the same time. How does that happen? And how are we stuck with this legacy system that is so inadequate for what it ostensibly is supposed to do? You know, penitentiary comes with the word penitent. It's like an Amish idea, where like if an Amish person misbehaved, you're supposed to like put them in time out for a little while so they can think about what they've done, feel bad about it, and decide to do better the next time. And it's like, we're still doing that with people with 35 felonies? Like, what? You know, I think if you were to just look at the American penal system from an alien point of view, it would just be like, what do you guys do? What do you do? So you've got people out here hurting innocent people, and your solution is to just put them in a room with a bunch of other criminals for like a little while and then just let them back out, and you think that's going to help somehow? Like, what? How would that even theoretically work? It doesn't make any sense. I like they said, you know, put them to work. Then we'd at least benefit. Then at least we wouldn't be spending a crap ton of money to house people to do nothing until we can let them out so they can commit more crime. Like, put them to work. Why not? We at least benefit. What I would like to see is almost a parallel prison system built alongside our prison system, where you have open air prisons that are towns, that are little towns, as a midway point. So if you're really well behaved in the federal penitentiary that we have now, then you get to go be a shopkeeper in a pretend town, and you get to practice being in a civilized society for 2 years. You get to practice dealing with other people, making purchases, making agreements, going to movie theaters. You get to experience the little frustrations that we all experience in life, and you prove that you can handle them, that you're not going to fly off the handle and stab somebody And then maybe we can have a way to determine if people are truly rehabilitated and able to return to the real world. That would be my idea. But the point is, nobody's even thinking of other ideas. No one's even coming up with solutions to these problems that we've been plagued with for decade upon decade upon decade. Every once in a while, we do some minor patch repair that works for a little bit, and then people like forget why it was implemented in the first place, right? In the 90s, crime was worse than it is today, and then there was a big crime bill, and things were instituted like stop and frisk and, you know, the three strike rule, which is a great rule, and we should probably bring back. Again, I think if you fail a third time to resist being a criminal, I think you've had enough opportunities, truly. I don't know what we do with you at that point, but you certainly aren't capable of living in society. So whether it's criminal justice reform or immigration or any of these things, what we're doing now is not sufficient, it's not adequate, and it's often because it's holdovers from rules and laws and determinations made in a world that doesn't exist anymore. I'd say this is the case with just about everything. We need a new digital bill of rights. We absolutely need to treat immigration not like it has been treated in the past. You realize how delusional it is, how insane it is to treat, you know, it's like if you have processes that you're supposed to follow, you're a department store and you have processes you're supposed to follow for shoplifters. But if a gang of 50 teenagers storms in your front door and starts ripping everything off the shelves and running away with it, you can't follow that shoplifter process anymore. You have to come up with a new process. The shoplifter process, you're supposed to take down their name and information, call the police, log what they did. And it's like, well, now you've got 50 teenagers grabbing everything they can hold and running out of the store, screaming and laughing and filming it on TikTok. You can't do the thing that you did do when it was individual. So like with immigration, it's almost like we're treating it as if it's the 70s and immigration's like, you know, this issue that we kind of deal with over here. No, we were flooded with 40 million people over 4 years. That's an invasion. It needs to be treated like an invasion. It's like we're trying to deal with these new, novel, unprecedented issues without changing the tactics that we use to deal with issues. The old ways are not sufficient. They're not adequate. They're counterproductive at this point. And it's the ultimate frustration that at least some of the things could be solved with someone like Asmongold, just a normal person with basic logic and a desire to live in a safe community, just putting their foot down and saying, we're not putting up with this anymore. Because it's like everything that we have to experience, all of these issues are all just people being unwilling to do what's necessary. Because at the end of the day, the worst thing that can happen from America looking after our own interests and the American people being the priority over any and everybody else is that all of those other people who aren't us are mad at us. So what? They're mad at us anyway. What is the risk? What is the danger? And who is going to pick up the crown that's lying in the gutter, just waiting for somebody to save us?
Barring a miracle in the courts, InfoWars should be shut down somewhere close to January 1st. But that's just a website. It's just these studios. The InfoWar belongs to the people of America and the world. Population, doing their own research, getting involved with the community, and studying what the globalists are doing, exposing them and resisting them. And we've come from basically 1% of the population knowing what was happening 31 years ago when I got involved in the fight, to close to half of the people, not just in America, but around the world, being incredibly awake and engaged and informed. So that's so exciting. And we have fought so hard together, that's why we've been targeted, because the globalists want to take us off the air so that we can't continue to tell the truth. But this operation is just one manifestation of the InfoWars. So I want to thank all of you over the decades. InfoWars has been around 28 years. For not just supporting the InfoWar, but being the InfoWar. Now, that said, the legendary shopping cart InfoWarsStore.com with all the great products that kept us on the air through all those fights. It's still up and operating. Everything is still being shipped out. Within a day or two of your orders coming in, and two of our fan favorites are available for the last time at InfoWarsStore.com. These just came in, brand new, fresh, Ultimate Fish Oil, the three certified best types of fish oil that do such incredible things for your body. Last up to 18 to 24 months, so you can also save it if you need to. And again, it is documented to be so good for your mind, your cardiovascular system, your immune system, and so much more. Fish oil, period, is great. Ours is the highest grade because it's been cold pressed, meaning it wasn't heated up or boiled. It wasn't homogenized. So you get the full effect. That is back in stock for a limited time for 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com. And Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. It's been out now for 8 years. Hard to believe that. When we first did this with a top manufacturer, no one else had ever done it. We went to him. We said, what's the strongest turmeric concentrate on the market? And they said about 75%, and we put it out. That's what we'd gone to them. We said, well, how high can you go? They said 95% curcuminoid. That's what is the thing that does the great effects of anti-inflammatory, overall health, immune system, you name it, in turmeric. And they explained, listen, you don't need to go that high. Just raw turmeric capsules are 4%, and people get amazing, amazing responses from it. 75 is just over the top. I said, no, go 95%. Now the industry all over the place has gone to 95% curcuminoid. So we are continuing to trailblaze and be leaders in this. So it is your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site and the legendary fight. Thank you so much for your support. Now stock up while you can on Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Back, folks. This is The War Room, InfoWars.com, band.video. We have so many things going on right now, from Epstein to what's now been revealed about Thomas Crooks. And we get into the details of it. But I almost think it's more valuable for me to not be bogged down in the details necessarily, unless they're important and illustrative of a wider phenomenon. For example, the Epstein emails that have been released recently, I don't think they show any information about whether Trump was involved any degree or not, right? In fact, I think most of it points to them not liking Trump because he wasn't going along with their blackmail schemes. And that, to me, is the more important thing. What you're seeing is behind the curtain. What you're seeing is the way these blackmail networks operate, the tactics that they use, the language that they use, the way they think about this stuff, the way they cover it up, the way it's employed or implemented or used as leverage to achieve certain things. So I want to get into that aspect of the release. The same thing could be said about things like the release of the Charlie Kirk text messages, where it's like, okay, a lot of people are focusing on this because they want to investigate and are trying to find information about who killed Charlie Kirk, and I think it's relevant to that. but it's more interesting and intriguing to me to see the way the pressure is wielded against high-profile conservative activists through withholding money or, again, you know, just the various methods of pressuring people. That, to me, is fascinating and interesting and really helps you to understand things. And whether it's Thomas Crooks or Epstein, it's like I can get into what they hid, but Tucker Carlson did a 30-minute documentary about it. So what happens in my mind, the questions my mind starts going to, is this organization, the FBI, is the central node of all of these different conspiracies. No matter what the details are, no matter what aspects of speculation are verified or not, it doesn't matter. It's the holistic understanding of all of this together points to one undeniable truth, that the FBI is a cancerous tumor on the American government. And whether it's covering up and lying about Thomas Crooks's digital footprint, or the lies and the cover-ups around the killing of Charlie Kirk, or the lies and the cover-up around Epstein, the central point of all of these are the FBI, and all the talk about Kash Patel suing people, like, it all goes back to the FBI. So throughout all the details, the thing to understand is the FBI has, and I mean this in full sincerity, like exactly what I'm saying here, the FBI has been deliberately trying to destroy this country for the last 10 years. To actually, literally destroy our republic in like a variety of different ways. With a variety of different people doing it for a variety of different motivations. But at the end of the day, the question has to be asked, why they're doing it, what they're pursuing, what their actual ultimate goal is in all of this. And then how they maintain the control over the people like Dan Bongino and Kash Patel. So again, the details to me are less important than the fact that you've got Epstein and Larry Summers coordinating on email. Larry Summers being the chairman of the OpenAI board that Sam Altman brought on to replace all the people that he ousted after the counter coup, after the coup when the OpenAI board came out saying, we've discovered something that made our stomach churn. Like, y'all remember that? I mean, we did like 3 shows on this when it broke. Search OpenAI on Bandai Video or OpenAI on Rumble, OpenAI War Room or OpenAI American Journal. We went through this because it was like one of the most fascinating dramas of all time. The OpenAI board discovered something that terrified them. They like flipped out, fired Sam Altman. Then Sam Altman, by collaborating with the investors of OpenAI, did a counter coup, ousted the entire board, who was, I'm not even sure we ever even actually got an answer as to what horrified them so much they all quit. But when he comes back in, he does it sort of on the coattails of Larry Summers, who's now the chairman of the board of OpenAI, who is a New World Order deep state kingpin, kind of similar to Larry Ellison. I actually mix these guys up quite a bit. Larry Summers and Ellison. Did I mix it up again? Now Sam Altman and his gay husband are talking about gene editing babies. Okay, this is just like, do you get that it's all the same people? It's like a very small number of people that when you draw the line from Epstein to AI to like war with Iran, and it's like 15 people, and they're all the vultures circling around MAGA and the Trump administration, and that they're gaining their positions of power and wielding their authority through blackmail rings and extortion, manipulation. Like, don't lose sight of the forest for the trees, right? Same time, Elon Musk is like bitter enemies with Sam Altman, originally helped found OpenAI, but then, you know, quit in protest when he realized they were trying to become profitable. And by the way, you know, there was a guy who was in a lawsuit with OpenAI that committed suicide in very suspicious circumstances. And he was a whistleblower describing how OpenAI and basically every AI corporation is a giant copyright scraping machine and is going through indexing and basically taking ownership of not just copyrighted material, but anything anybody ever puts on the internet. Do you know that Meta, that runs Facebook and Instagram, either they're doing it, either they've already started or they're about to start scraping your personal messages with AI. Your personal private correspondence and private messages or DMs is now being opened up for AI to scrape, to index, to study, to evaluate, and you will automatically be opted into this. You'll have to go into your settings and opt out of your private messages being entered into the AI database. At the same time that Apple just unveiled their digital ID through the iPhone to replace, you know, paper passports on the very same day that they stopped printing the penny for the first time. And end, you know, the manufacture of physical currency. Like, all of these things are in line with one another. All of these things are happening at the same time and in conjunction and as a consequence of each other. Like, it's almost too much to even describe. But if I just give you the data points, there's nothing there to draw the, you know, connect the lines together and make the constellation, which is what I'm trying to just impress upon you with the way all of these various things are intertwined and just where my mind goes when I read about Larry Summers and Reid Hoffman and Ehud Barak, former Prime Minister of Israel, and Jeffrey Epstein, all emailing each other, helping to pick Trump cabinet members in the first administration. That was one of the revelations in the whole thing. And then I'm thinking, is this a distraction? Now, I get a little triggered when people say this is a distraction. Anything. When people say, you bring up something, they go, that's a distraction from this. I get a little triggered because 99.9% of the times, you know, they didn't, it's like, you look, they're not going to bomb Iran to distract from Jimmy Kimmel or whatever. You know, it's like a lot of times, it's like, no, sometimes two things happen at once. And that's just the fact. But look at what's happening with Epstein. Look at the timing of the releases. This is how a distraction works. And it's not a distraction entirely to just suck all of the, you know, energy out of the, you know, and public attention towards something. But it can be a distraction focused at decision makers. It can be a distraction imposed on them, or the release is a form of blackmail itself. So, like, if you're talking about a distraction, again, you'll get people saying, you know, oh, the fires in Maui is a distraction from a revelation about Ukrainian money laundering. It's like, no, they didn't burn, you know, 1,000 people alive just to distract from this other thing. It's not that. That's not how it works. But when you have information that's been concealed for years that's suddenly released without any real reason why now is the time it needs to be released, when it's released strategically, only certain parts of it, certain parts are redacted, and they are redacted in a way that is less clarifying, so it allows it to be portrayed as something it's not. When it's happening like this, then it's worth asking, okay, is this either a distraction or is this the fulfillment of blackmail threats? Things like that. Because I can't help but notice that right now, Benjamin Netanyahu is gearing up for a giant political fight that will determine whether or not he goes to prison for the rest of his life and whether or not his coalition continues or whether or not the Israeli government investigates October 7th for stand down orders. That's a big conflict happening in Israel right now. And during the Iran, the lead up to the Iran attack, 12-day war, whatever they call it, this was something that was spoken about by Israelis, saying, gee, have you noticed that Trump didn't want to go to war with Iran and all these Epstein leaks started coming out? So is Benjamin Netanyahu releasing some of this stuff in order to screw Trump over? Because at the same time, the Israeli honeypot operation is being unveiled to try to discredit Trump and hurt him politically. Trump is writing letters to the president of Israel asking him to pardon Benjamin Netanyahu, which is a little bit out of character since Trump fairly routinely reminds us that he doesn't actually like Netanyahu all that much, doesn't actually care for him. And even writing this letter is like completely humiliating because Benjamin Netanyahu himself didn't lift a single finger when Trump was, being threatened with 400 years in prison over a real estate deal from 20 years ago. He didn't step in to help Trump when the election was stolen in 2020. In fact, he was the first international leader to congratulate Biden on his victory. Are these things related? I don't know, but the timing is certainly coincidental. And it all goes into the timeline we laid out yesterday, the war going on beneath the surface that I was talking about Tucker Carlson hinting at, from Signalgate, the war in Iran, to the visits from Netanyahu, to the release of the Epstein files, to the corruption charges against Netanyahu, to the ceasefire between Israel and Gaza. Like, all this stuff is so intricately intertwined. It's confusing. Tangled webs, very tangled webs being weaved here. So again, we can get into Thomas Crooks and what was discovered and the way the FBI is lying. But again, it's like the thing to understand to me is that the FBI is lying, that the FBI is covering up information that they either didn't know, which is really disturbing. If they couldn't find something that Tucker Carlson's team found, then what do we even have them for? But like, what is their motivation? What is their priority? What do they think they're doing? Like, who are they serving? Because it's not the American people. It's not President Trump. It's not justice. It's not fidelity and bravery and integrity, like their motto says. And we might not know exactly what the intentions of the FBI are, but one thing is abundantly clear. They're the ones who have withheld the Epstein documents. The FBI, they're the ones that started the Russiagate hoax and the investigation and covered it up. They're the ones that kicked down the doors of Trump supporters after January 6th, participating in that just ridiculous assault on all of our rights. They're the ones who, it literally just goes on and on and on and on and on. So then you go, okay, the FBI is clearly a criminal network, in effect. It's clearly a hive of scum and villainy. But it can't be destroyed. But the people that we sent in there specifically to dismantle it, to clean it out, to clean house, are now the FBI's biggest offenders. So like, I'm just trying to wrap my mind around the scale of the issue that we're dealing with. And when we talk about things like digital ID and gene editing babies, like all this insane stuff, I see a lot of people saying that's the real threat and everything else is a distraction. I agree to that to a certain degree. It is the digital framework of the prison that they want to put us in, absolutely. The question is, how do you stop them? How do you stop these corporations? How do you stop the implementation? The only way to stop them is through the government. It's the only way. Because they're going to do it. They're going to implement. They are implementing these things. The only way that you stop them is by seizing the lawful authority of the nation and stop them from doing it by law. That's it. That's the only way. And we have to do that. And we have to do it in a way that is like at least semi-permanent. And this is another thing that I'm not even sure how you do this in the modern political setup. But take, for example, again, Sam Altman and his gay husband want to gene edit babies. And the article I was reading said something like, despite it being illegal, you know, these people want to gene edit babies. There's already a law in place. Thank goodness, you know, type of thing. I wouldn't think we'd need a law, but apparently we do. And good thing we have one. You can't edit the genes of unborn children. You just can't. For now. But obviously, Sam Altman and his friends want to be able to gene edit babies. And they're billionaires. And they control AI companies that are now becoming the infrastructure under the surface of every other company. So as I look into the future, I'm like, so I know how this goes. I want it to stay how it is. I don't want there to be gene edited babies ever. And I'll never change my mind on that. And you can't convince me otherwise. So now I'm just picturing the fight. And God knows how long it's going to go on. Could be decades. Of like, we're the seawall and we're just going to start getting bombarded with waves. Bombarded one after another. It's going to start chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. And then they're going to start funding think tanks. Then they're going to start funding scientific studies. Then they're going to start funding propaganda efforts. Spread the message about how wonderful gene editing babies is. And then they're going to lobby and advocate for a law to get passed. And then we'll have to argue it. And it'll probably fail the first time. Then we'll have to argue it again. Then we'll have to argue it again. Then we'll have to argue it again. And eventually it'll like break through. And it's like, how about we just don't do any of that? How about we just put our foot down and just say, despite everything else, we all have to agree that we're not opening this Pandora's box. Nobody has the right to alter the genetic code of another human being ever without their explicit and informed consent. Period. Can we do that? Can we just do that? And so we just, you know, Sam Altman and his gay husband and anybody else like them that really wants to edit, you know, genes, babies, we say just save your money, save your effort. It'll never happen and we'll never stand for it. And we'll have to punish you if you keep trying. Because I don't know what else to do to deal with some of these issues that are like have money behind them, have impetus behind them. And that not enough people care about the threat that they pose. I mean, you're talking about a fundamental reshaping of humanity itself. Obviously, when you added genes, but also just like the understanding. I don't know. Do we even understand? Could we even ever quantify or qualify or determine what the like psychological impact of knowing that you were designed by another human would have? I mean, it's so like creepy and weird. I can't imagine a little kid with like green eyes being like, that's because I picked green eyes out of a catalog for you. I built you like a toy. It's just like right now, if something's wrong with, you know, it's like you might be mad at God. You might be mad at the hand fate dealt you. But like, what if it's your mom that gave you, you know, a condition that you don't like? It's not a door we should go through. It's not a door we should even be walking towards. It's not a door anybody should be allowed to build. And there are lots of things like this where it's like our system is one that is deliberately open and malleable and sort of soft. Like, and it's good because we can change with the times. We can evolve. Now, what usually happens is the natural evolution gets hijacked by people who are mad it's not happening fast enough. I'm explaining this over and over, right? Things like the feminist movement. It's good that we have laws that can change and move with the times, where when technological innovations and societal, you know, reconfiguring made it to where women didn't have to spend all day cooking or, you know, shucking corn and washing laundry by hand in a giant tub by the river. Like, okay, we have washing machines in the house now. That's 4 hours of your day cleared up. All right, we got, you know, women are not, you know, necessary 100% of the time to be doing housework just so everybody survives and diseases don't spread rapidly from filth. So, okay, we're freed up from that, so we don't have to have quite the same restrictions that we used to. And so, you know, naturally, as the conditions of the world change, people want to change the way that society works, and that tends to happen. And then you have agitators, aggravators, who see the change happening, say it's not happening fast enough, and we have to have a revolution to force this to happen, even though it was happening naturally. Same thing happened with the civil rights movement. After 100 years, Black Americans went from destitution, absolute abject slavery, to building up a society that was functional and operative and wealthy and, you know, solid. And they looked around going, you know, it's about time we stop being treated as second-class citizens. And the movement was in that direction. And people and things were opening up and old, you know, biases were being proven wrong and things were moving in that direction. And then the government came along and said, we'll help you kickstart this. Yeah, things are moving more towards integration, moving more towards equality. All you need now is help. It's not happening fast enough. Let us come in and create the great society and screw the Black community over for the next 100 years. It just happens over and over like this. So on one hand, it's necessary for a country to function that we have to change as times change, technology changes, everything changes. But at the same time, there are certain things where it's like our open, changeable system has to be hardened against some of this stuff. Because on a long enough timeline, you're always going to lose to the agitators that want to change things. You can only preserve what exists for so long, but if they're chipping away every day, eventually the wall collapses. So stuff like that with Sam Altman wanting to do gene editing, I don't know if we need a constitutional amendment, a new bill of rights or something. You have a right to be born unencumbered by the arbitrary decisions of somebody else altering your DNA. You have a human right to be born naturally. I don't know what we need to do, but I'm sick of having to constantly be in these fighting retreats. How about we stand firm and start progressing and start instituting things? I don't know what the law would be called, but something like attempted tyranny. You're attempting to change our laws in a negative way, and that can't be allowed. I don't know how we do that with an open society. I do want to tell you about a sale that we've got going on InfoWarsStore.com. I feel like it's been forever since I've plugged InfoWarsStore.com. But let me tell you, folks, I'm plugging it for a good reason, because it is the final batch of two of our most bombshell, widely respected, well-known, and powerful supplements, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. And this is a critical moment. If you've been thinking about improving your health, now is the time to act, and not just for the sake of your well-being, but to help keep InfoWars on air as long as possible. For a limited time, we're offering 40% off two of our best-selling products, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Whole Body Support. Our fish oil is packed with essential omega-3s to support your heart, brain, and joints, while our turmeric helps with inflammation and boosts your overall wellness. Both products are powerful tools in your daily health routine. But here's the reality. We at InfoWars could be shut down in the very near future. We need your support right now, and the funds from these sales are critical for keeping the fight going as long as possible. Once the supply is gone, you might not have a chance to restock or even be around to offer these products again. We might not be around to offer these products ever again. 40% off Ultimate Fish Oil, 40% off the Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. It is a massive discount, and it's your chance now to grab these high-quality supplements while helping us survive. Do not wait. Head to InfoWarsStore.com. Buy now and keep us going. Every purchase helps. Every order makes a difference. And like I said, these could be the final runs of Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Turmeric Supplement, two of our most powerful and beloved supplements. Please do go get Ultimate Fish Oil today at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air, in the fight, and keep yourself healthy.
Discover a wide variety of products at InfoWarsStore.com. From shirts, books, hats, survival gear to essential documentaries and supplements, InfoWarsStore.com has got you covered. We have the highest quality at the lowest prices. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and help support the InfoWar.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.